Track 3. ITV Arts editor Nina Nana recounts how she and her daughter Mimi experienced their own Christmas miracle on their incredibly moving trip to New Zealand.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and by that I mean the nights are drawing in, it's getting colder, and I have bought the first of my makeup advent calendars. I'm afraid I'm hooked, and it's a costly habit. My daughter and I have recently returned from an epic trip to New Zealand, where they too are thinking about the approach of Christmas. But there, of course, it coincides with their summer, and as we left the country, the sun was out and it was getting warmer. No doubt thoughts were turning to Christmas Day barbecues, whereas we were thinking of woolly jumpers and open fires. Our New Zealand trip was one we've been planning and dreading for more than a year. This wasn't just a holiday in one of the most beautiful countries on earth. We went across the world on a sad, heartbreaking mission, but one we knew was the right thing to do. We were returning my late husband's ashes to his beloved New Zealand, back to the waves he served and the many, many people he grew up with there and who loved him too. It was a trip we'd been planning to make before Christmas last year, but as the day approached, the two of us realised that it was simply too soon and we were physically and mentally just not prepared to do it. And so we waited another year as another Christmas approached and off we went. I must confess that the prospect terrified me. I had many, many sleepless nights in the months leading up to our departure for Auckland. I feared not being able to control my grief, of being embarrassing, of imposing my sorrow on his friends when I saw them. Bereavement and grief are very strange things. People will tell you about closure, about time frames, about when you might start to feel better. But the truth is, everyone's grief journey is different. And even though my darling Steve has been gone 3 years, the sorrow I feel over his loss still manages to cripple me in unexpected moments of leaving me still in despair and disbelief that he's no longer here. I'm so lucky that I have family and wonderful friends around me who have stuck with me through bad times, through my irrational moments, the times of neediness, of agony, and they still hold my hand. I haven't had any big moment of closure. I don't expect I will. My grief is raw, but this trip that Mimi and I made did help us in a huge way. My daughter sorted out the itinerary. In truth, I just didn't feel able to apply myself to where we would be visiting and who we would be seeing, and so selfishly I left her to do it, and I must say she did the most extraordinary job. Flying across the world with my husband's ashes in my hand luggage is not something I ever would have envisaged in any lifetime, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but I know people do it inevitably. You require all the documentation and a good deal of grit as you approach the security check-in at the airport and pray that no one is going to open your bag and ask questions. In fact, that only happened as we were being checked in at Heathrow and the security guard opened up my bag and reached for the box inquisitively before I yelped, "Please be careful, they are my husband's ashes." And then I started crying, just like I thought I might. I couldn't help it. The poor bloke looked hugely apologetic and was very gentle and kind to me. This was a thing that I'd been dreading, having to tell people that I was carrying my husband's ashes, because I never thought that I would be capable of saying the words. I was shown nothing but kindness on our trip out. The respect and care offered to us both after we shared what we were doing, what we were taking Stephen back home to scatter his ashes in the places he loved, was truly incredible. Once we arrived, jet-lagged, and we were joined by our darling friend Edwina, who had flown over from Australia, we met up with all of Stephen's many friends at a gathering in one of their houses. I knew this was going to be very emotional, and the truth is the tears started the moments we crossed the threshold. It was an opportunity for those who hadn't seen Steve for a while to share their grief, but it was also an evening of laughter alongside the tears as each of the friends talked about what they'd got up to with Steve as he was growing up in Auckland, of the many car trips and surfing expeditions, of the time Steve was on dialysis and they'd all go and sit with him for hours as he was hooked up to a machine. I know why he loved these people so, so much. It was impossible not to. And so the next day we went to one of Steve's favourite surf beaches. We formed a circle, the sun was shining. Kevin read out a poem that Steve had written many years ago. He was a beautiful writer. And Stan held him as Kevin tried to get the words out amidst his emotion. Then Mimi sang the New Zealand national anthem, which her father had proudly taught her when she was only four. Where she gets her strength from, I do not know. And after that, the two of us decided to sing what is something of a family anthem, Return of the Grievous Angel by Gram Parsons. This was a song that the three of us, Steve, Mimi and myself, would belt out on every car journey, getting the harmonies just beautifully right. We'd sing it around the house and fall into those harmonies so easily and naturally. But as Mimi and I stood on the beautiful beach and tried to sing the song without Steve's harmonies, well, it didn't quite work. I'm not sure the birds flying overhead appreciated the sound we were making, but at that time it was the perfect thing to do. After that, we visited what Steve always described as a paradise to him, a beach on the breathtaking Coromandel Peninsula. The wish to replicate the beach life he so adored was one of the reasons that brought us to Norfolk. He was drawn magnetically to the sands at Waxham, and being there on that peninsula on the other side of the world, it was obvious why. And then something quite extraordinary happened. I was on my own in the early morning filming the village by the beach. When I sent the picture back to family, my sister-in-law Chris asked if I had spotted the orb of light floating across the picture. I took another look at the video, and sure enough, as I was speaking on it, when I mentioned Steve, a beautiful green light floated across the screen on two occasions. Maybe it was simply a trick of the light, but I choose to interpret it a different way. People kept telling us on the journey through the North Island of New Zealand that Steve was with us, and I'd like to think that he was, and the beautiful green orb of light that floated across the screen was him telling us that he was there watching over the two of us. And so now, back home in Norfolk and remembering our time in NZ, as Yule Tile approaches, I'd like to think that we have experienced our own Christmas miracle.